Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, in today's episode, I wanted to dive into what infant massage is and why I believe it's such an important modality for all parents, yes, but definitely and especially for those families going through postnatal depression. Now, as you would know, now that we're on episode 8, I did have postnatal depression twice, and after I recovered, I did launch into my Ayurvedic studies and massage. So in the form of Abhyanga, that actually what I learned was a beautiful and an important practice and a huge practice in Ayurveda to help nourish, soothe, and calm the nervous system of the mother, and especially in the postpartum period. Now, what I understood and took from that is that the benefits of the oil in itself being warm, being oily, being liquid in nature, it really helps to balance that vata imbalance, which is characterized by being cold, rough, dry. And so bringing those aspects into her body, it really, for me, I appreciated and understood how the earth and water aspects that we bring to it actually can help to bring balance to our mothers once we've delivered. So I really kind of understood that from a very primal space and from a very, you know, a basic understanding of what it can do. So once Kayan was 2, so he actually wasn't a little baby anymore, but once I had moved back to Sydney, I actually stumbled across IMIS, and this is the Infant Massage Information Service, and I met Heidi McLaughlin, and she was the teacher or the owner of this platform or company that teaches infant massage to instructors. So I have trained with her to become a PMC, which is a pediatric massage consultant, and this enables me to teach other health professionals, as a health professional myself, about the benefits and all of the wonderful things that infant massage can do and bring about to the baby and the mother or the parent. And I've also become a CIMI, which is a certified infant massage instructor, so that enables me to teach other parents how to massage their babies, why it's so amazing and wonderful. And actually just learning this branch, it felt like, you know, an important aspect or an important extension of my Ayurvedic studies to really hold our women and families through the postpartum period. And I come from a space of wishing that I knew this modality when I was going through my postpartum period, because if I had known any of this information, then perhaps that bonding and connection aspect and element may have come back sooner, or perhaps my children may have not had that void and that disconnect that was there. And that actually is the saddest part for me, or the biggest aspect that I believe so much in bringing change about for, because it's so sad when I think about my beautiful, beautiful boys just waiting for their mother to connect with them, to give them the space that they deserve to hold energy and time and connection in, you know, in their first arrival into this big, wide, scary world. I was that person who could have or should have, and whilst ordinarily I hate using those words, I was that safe keeper of space for them. And this isn't coming from a vantage point of guilt or shame. It is what it is. But if I can help to bring respite tools for other families or other mothers who may feel the same way that I did, then I hope it actually is knowledge and a modality that can be utilized by any and all families to really bring that connection, to bring that aspect of touch, to bring that earth and water aspect, yes, from an Ayurvedic perspective, but also what I've learned from the studies that I have done is that there are so many amazing biochemical neurotransmitter changes that infant massage brings that I feel it is a portion or it is part of the recovery process for women and families with postnatal depression and anxiety. It is, it has to be. And perhaps if more women and families knew about what it can do, the benefits it can bring, how to do it, then I feel like this is another tool, another resource, another branch on this tree to help bring support to our women. So learning this information has just been really, really amazing. And it really did consolidate and confirm the positive impact that it has on the baby, but the mother as well, and or the father or the primary caregiver. So it definitely feels like it's a missing piece in the puzzle. And I asked myself the question, would bonding and attachment have been more easily restored? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Would my boys have felt my body connection despite my brain being disconnected? Maybe, maybe not. And obviously, I'm never going to find out the answers to these questions, but it really kind of instills that importance in pursuing this and perhaps allowing all people to know that this modality exists and filling that bonding and attachment void that is the saddest part of all is really what I hope we can offer. And, you know, it encouraged me to really disseminate and share this information to other frontline health professionals. I almost feel like, for instance, pharmacists that are on the ground. We have 35,000 pharmacists registered with APRA. Imagine all of these beautiful souls on the floor, on the ground, working with potentially, say, well, I know in 2018, there were 300,000 mothers that gave birth. So imagine these 35,000 pharmacists, just pharmacists, can have an impact on these 300,000 women. Then you add chiropractors and women's health physios, pediatricians. If you add in child health nurses, midwives, if you add in lactation consultants. If we think of all frontline health professionals, how much potential, how much opportunity do we have? And that excites me. It's a missed opportunity, I feel, at this stage, but it is a void and it is something that can be filled. And it is something that through communication, through information, that we can help bridge that gap. Now, I actually, you know, I did dabble with massaging Kayan and Ari once I had recovered from postnatal depression. I didn't do it consistently, but it was something that I was intuitively drawn to and they love it. You know, even now they love it. I really have also practiced my Abhyanga, which is the Ayurvedic massage on them. And I've seen and asked them, well, which one do you like better? And they love both. So that's always nice to know. But I do genuinely believe that through touch, through that connection, that I do feel if someone was in the throes of postnatal depression, that the baby would know undoubtedly that their existence matters and that they are so deserving of love and that the mother or father actually, yes, okay, the mum might not be well, but love and connection is there for them. And touch is a very simple sense or a simple aspect that we can utilize. But gosh, I do feel like it is such an incredible and powerful tool and modality. So look, I could actually talk all live long day. I think we all know that. So if we just jump into, well, what are the benefits of infant massage? I think that's really the take-home message here. And I hope that if any of the reasons why it's such an amazing tool that, you can seek out where to learn. And I definitely want to teach and speak with health professionals about this modality and how effective it is for perinatal mental health conditions. I believe that from the depths of my soul, I understand its place in therapy. So what are the benefits? Now, this all comes from my teachings from IMIS. And definitely, if you want to become an instructor, then please get in touch with Heidi from IMIS, and I'll pop her details in the show notes if that's something that you're resonating with. And I speak about her all in my book, Shining the Light on PND, because, yeah, I love the work that she does. And it's an amazing modality. Simple, yes, but so, so important and so profound, I feel, in this world that we live in. So the benefits are positive for both the baby or the child and the parent who is doing it. So ideally, we want to use the primary caregiver that has an amazing bond or relationship with the baby versus, say, someone transient that comes and goes, like a nanny or an aunt or uncle. You know, we want to establish trust. We want to establish connection and a bond with the child. And touch is a very personal sense, and it is something that we do want to establish healthy boundaries and trust about. So, you know, it is something that we encourage a primary caregiver to really partake in. And the benefits are amazing, and having a nurturing and trusting relationship is part of the process. It's not just the physical aspect of touch of massage, it is the whole process of establishing that beautiful relationship with that trusted person. Now, the benefits of infant massage: it creates relaxation of the skeletal muscle. It increases blood flow and lymphatic circulation. It can reduce anxiety and improve alertness. It reduces the stress hormone cortisol in the child and the parent. Now, cortisol is our stress hormone. It's very much associated with the fight or flight response. And if that's reduced, that's amazing. That means that we're going to be more calm. We're going to be more relaxed. We'll have a reduced pulse rate, less reactivity. And so that can only be a good thing. So we can strengthen the immune system. And this can only be a positive impact, really, given the current climate that we're in a pandemic. That can only be an amazing and positive effect. It can enhance emotions and improve mood, and it does this by increasing dopamine levels. It can help to improve sleep by increasing serotonin, again, another feel-good hormone, a neurotransmitter. It is very much related to anxiety and depression, so that's a wonderful thing to help improve mood, and it helps regulate sleep by regulating melatonin secretion, and this is responsible for the circadian rhythm, so that allows our body, our baby's body, to know when it's day, when it's night, and anything that's going to help with sleep. Well, I know that all families would desperately welcome that. Infant massage can also increase vagal nerve activity, and this is very much related to the digestive, respiratory, and circulatory system. It can help to relieve pain by releasing endorphins. So for a little baby, if we think about teething, wind, colic, there's lots of crying, lots of discomfort, and obviously any respite here would be very much welcome. It can help with sinus and chest congestion. So that's obviously great for colds and flus, but also if you think of chronic conditions like asthma, that's actually a very, very helpful tool. Now, the enhancing of the bonding and attachment is a huge aspect of postnatal depression, and one that I'm particularly passionate about, and that is through, if you think about the circulating serotonin and dopamine, yes, absolutely, through that connection, through also just understanding your baby and spending time with them and noticing their cues, it enables you to read each other better. And that can only be a good thing. Infant massage also enhances body awareness for the baby. So, you know, by touching the baby, it's going to be getting lots of neural stimulation and lots of messages happening that will help increase this body awareness and movement and amazing gross motor skills as well. And in terms of the benefits to the parents, so not just the baby, but the parents themselves, there's a reduced anxiety and depression. And this is due to the serotonin and the dopamine influence and reduced cortisol levels, improving the mood, reducing pulse and cortisol. It's going to improve their self-esteem or your self-esteem and your confidence to know what your baby needs. You'll get to really see in another way what their cues mean. And that can only improve your confidence and reduce your stress levels by reducing the cortisol levels. And these are wonderful, amazing, very helpful and positive benefits. So now we go into, well, what are the practical aspects of massaging your baby? Now, this podcast isn't a crash course in how to do it and what the sequences are and how we're going to actually do a massage. So what we would normally do is run a 4-week course, and this would be face to face or via Zoom, perhaps a mixture of both depending on the pandemic situation. But essentially the 4-week program is to go through how you massage your baby in a group setting or in a customized one-to-one format depending on, you know, what is available, what your needs are, what you would prefer. But essentially, so whilst this isn't a crash course in how to do it, just some important points to note and that may be of interest to you, and to sort of share some snippets of helpful fun facts. Sorry to interrupt your Thrive podcast. I just wanted to hop on quickly to talk about my holistichealingco.com platform. I have created a website with blogs, links to videos on YouTube, all of the podcast episodes and show notes, as well as a shop to purchase my books, guided meditations, and other products. It continues to grow and evolve, containing information from a pharmacist perspective, as well as from an Eastern Ayurveda perspective. Jump on, and I hope you find some resources to help you thrive. Now, back to the episode. I thought I'd run through some basic important points. Now, the first one is a bit of a no-brainer, and one that I'm sure you're well aware of, is that it needs to be safely done. So we're not ever going to do it on a raised surface. So we're not doing it on a change table. Why? Because it's dangerous. Slippery oil and heights holding a little tiny rubbery baby with slippery oil is, look, it just sounds very dangerous to me. And it's not something that we would recommend. It's not something that I would ever suggest that you do, even on a bed. No, you turn away for a second, that baby can roll and get hurt. You try to catch that baby with slippery, oily fingers, it's not going to end well. So never, ever on a raised surface. Now, for a newborn baby, it might be very comfortable because they're so little that you can lean against a wall or against a sofa or somewhere comfortable, but you're sitting on the ground and you're sitting with your knees sort of bent, you know, however you're comfortable, maybe at a 90-degree angle or 45-degree angle, and your baby's lying on your knees. Now, that's wonderful. That's one way. Or you can have them on the floor on a change mat and then put a blanket or a towel in case there's any leaks. That's another way if they prefer to just be flat on the ground, but always, always, always on a low surface. Now, babies grow, and to be honest, infant massage can become child massage, can become, I don't know what's after child, but you know, you can massage your children until their teens, until they're in their 20s. I mean, you know, there can be no age limit as such. It's a very connective one-to-one time that you can have together that might be your sacred space. So even when your children are in their early 20s, I'm giggling, but really, you know, I think if Ari or Kayan wanted a massage, I would always be open to it, and I would maybe even allow them the safe space to offer it to them or have a regular session. Perhaps now that I think about it, what a beautiful practice that would be. We don't do it on a consistent basis in terms of, you know, a set time every week or once a week. I definitely would love to do it more. Sometimes life does get in the way, but I mean, what an amazing space that would be, an opportunity for one-on-one time where you can talk and chat. And of course, you know, when puberty hits, yes, there will be body awareness and body maybe mindfulness on their behalf and vice versa. But, you know, there's no reason why this cannot continue until they're older. So older children can sit when they're older, they can sit, you know, as toddlers, they can sit. And in fact, it might be very beautiful when they are in that toddler phase to sit and look in front of a mirror. And that would really increase the body awareness. And I think that that's a wonderful thing to do. And of course, as they can talk and they can communicate, then they'll tell you where they enjoy it the best and how is the most comfortable for them. So, you know, really just go with the flow as they get older. But it really, I think, is an important take-home message at this point to make it a safe space and to make it a relaxing and connective time. You don't want to do it to cross it off the list. You want to do it when you're both calm, when you're both able, when you both have time, when you both feel ready, when you're both in the right frame of mind, not when you're busy or about to start dinner. I mean, that wouldn't be the ideal time, really. You want to do it when they're in a quiet, alert state, when they're young children. When they're older, you want to do it when they are, you know, they have had their rest and they're not irritable and not come back home after a whole day at the zoo or the beach where they're overstimulated. It is about picking the right time and about being very mindful and observant about spending that one-to-one time together. Now, in terms of comfort as well, now that we're speaking about it, you know, maybe remove all your jewelry. So rings can be annoying, bracelets, bangles, you know, if you're massaging this beautiful soft skin, buttery baby and you've got clang clang jewelry on, it's not going to be the most comfortable experience. Nails that are too long may poke someone in the eye or poke them in a skin fold that they won't like. So I guess just be mindful of that. Having nice and warm hands versus cold, clammy hands. So maybe put them under warm water or use a wheat pack to warm your hands. Just think about what would be most comfortable for the baby. Make sure the room is nice and warm, not too brightly lit. You don't want this office-like environment with these bright, bright lights, but equally you don't want, say, a candle burning in there to be a health hazard, or not a health hazard, a safety hazard happening on the other side. You want to be able to focus and concentrate and not have to worry about things setting on fire. So just be very mindful of the environment. Perhaps take the phone off the hook. You might like to disconnect the doorbell so you don't get any annoying disruptions when your Amazon delivery comes. You just want to be uninterrupted. It needs to be a wonderful relaxation time and space. Now, on the topic of smell and fragrance, really, when we think of a mother and a baby's connection, and we think of a newborn who, you know, we always say to, you know, that the mother should hold the baby and get used to their smell, and even maybe keep the mother's clothing near the baby so that the baby can smell and get used to and get familiar and comfortable with this safe space person. So in terms of pheromones that we are exuding, that helps with bonding and attachment. So If you think about wearing heavy perfumes, that I'm not saying that's going to make a disconnect, but it's not going to be as conducive to bonding and attachment unless you're using the same fragrance every single time. But we do, I guess, are very mindful with the effect of fragrance and smell because we want to connect the mother or the carer with that particular smell. So if you're adding in essential oils, or if you're burning or have a diffuser or an infuser situation happening where there's a particular smell, well, that might actually take away from the bonding and pheromone connection and experience. So I would be very mindful with the fragrances that we use, and really we want to keep it as neutral as possible and take away all of the extra aspects or variables that are going to affect the connection. Now, again, in terms of safety, a big one for safety is that we never, ever do a massage before a bath. We don't. And why? Because they can slip. When we talk about their buttery, silky, smooth skin, that's incredible. But it also is something that can be very, very dangerous. So in terms of the oils that we use, now in Ayurveda, a cold pressed sesame oil would be amazing, an amazing one to use. And that's an ideal one because it brings the aspect of heat with being quite a neutral smell, and we do that to help nourish the mother. But also you can use that for babies as well, but typically you can use a non-mineral oil extracted from fruit, nut or seed is the best. But really, you know, I would say to all of my patients as a pharmacist to be so incredibly careful with any nut aspect that you're bringing to the skin, especially for a newborn baby, especially for a small child. We don't know how they're going to react if there's an allergy. So for all of my patients, I would always say for any product to do a skin allergy test. And what that would involve is just using the tiniest of amount in the inner elbow or the inner forearm. I'm not sure if I'm describing it well enough, but to put a tiny, tiny, tiny amount there. And you would do it in the morning versus the night when the baby's going to sleep. You can't see the reaction. But when you're doing it in the morning, to leave it there for 24 hours and watch. Now, if it goes red or lumpy or there's a rash or there's any kind of indication that there is an allergy, then first of all, I would wipe it off straight away with a warm compress or a warm face washer. Just get that oil off. Mark or take a picture of where the rash is or has started, and then go see your GP and get medical advice. Now, as a pharmacist, or how we would get information if it was a poison incident or anything like this, we would definitely want to know, well, what did you use? When did you use it? How much have you used? What's the reaction? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? What is the change like? And so all of these information become very critical in terms of deciding, right, well, what's going on? Almost becoming like an investigator. So definitely for a GP, they would do the exact same, plus potentially look at history, family history of allergies, previous exposures of whatever it would be similar or in the same family or of categories. So really be very careful. Be very, very careful with what I guess you choose to use. It is a risk or something to consider or be mindful of. Yes, they're all little snippets of information about infant massage. But I guess really what my take-home message is that it is a beautiful, amazing modality. It's very calming, very relaxing, very peaceful. Now, there's some instances where we wouldn't recommend doing massage. So there's, a whole list of contraindications, and that is not only an infant massage, but also Abhyanga. So when there's any, say, I'm just giving you some examples, it's not an exhaustive or comprehensive list that we would learn together, but, things like open wounds, or if you've had surgery, or if there's any inflammation, fever is one of those things where If you think that there's inflammation and an illness happening in the body, then if you're circulating that lymphatic system or circulating that fluid around your body and you're not well, then you're not going to feel well at all. And so fever is something that we wouldn't do a normal infant massage on, but you know, very comforting, slow, gentle strokes may comfort that child. In Abhyanga, we actually wouldn't massage if someone has a fever. That's almost, you know, a definite contraindication. But with a child that needs their mum, naturally and intuitively, you know, you would want to stroke them, but just very gently, nothing profound, nothing vigorous, nothing strenuous, even just a little, you know, while they're sleeping on your shoulder, a little just pats on their back. It's comforting, it's soothing, it's very intuitively nourishing and nurturing for them. But anyway, my simple take-home message there is that there are situations or contraindications where we wouldn't do infant massage. So that is something also to be mindful of. And the other aspect in our program is that there is a colic and a wind and a constipation sequence. So this is something that children or infants that have these symptoms that very much filled with discomfort and irritability, that there's a beautiful sequence that we can teach to help. I'm not saying to cure it, nothing like that at all, but to help perhaps with the symptoms and to help with providing some kind of relief with the wind. There's particular motions and sequences that can really help to clear any trapped wind. And I know that, you know, if a mother is having a child that's crying at this witching hour for hours on end and nothing is giving any respite, then it is something that is worth a try. It can be quite stressful, I guess, trying to massage a baby that's crying. And ordinarily, we wouldn't massage a crying baby because we want a positive interaction and we want a positive connotation and association with massage, definitely. But you know, I think with wind and colic, that's sort of almost like an exception to the rule. But that is something that can be learned and used if needed and necessary for those children. So I guess those are the very basic benefits of infant massage. And I honestly can say that it is an amazing modality. It is very helpful, beneficial. Essentially, it is a tool that I feel should be part of the recovery process because that bonding and attachment, the effects on melatonin, serotonin, dopamine, the effects on relaxation, reducing cortisol is undeniable. And I guess it comes from a space, as I've said before, of if I wish I had known, I would have done it. If I wish I had known that my husband could have done it when I was in the horrible dark trenches, honestly. But I can't live in regret. I can't live in, oh, I should have, could have kind of thinking that's not serving anyone. But I definitely would love to help others learn this tool so that they can utilize it. And that's something that I really, truly wish for you. Now, for today's pearl to practice this week, it does come from this whole idea of self-abhyanga or massage to soothe our nervous systems. Now, I'm not going to ask you to massage a baby because this, you know, we haven't taught you anything here today. But really, from the standpoint of abhyanga, which is the self-massage in Ayurveda, I want you to find some cold pressed sesame oil. Now, that might be a hard task. I'm not asking you to go to the supermarket and get that roasted sesame oil because you'll smell like a stir fry. That's not the oil that you need. But if you can't find the cold pressed sesame oil, then perhaps if you find almond oil, that would be something nice to use. Or even coconut oil. I mean, coconut oil is very cooling, which if you have that vata imbalance, that excess air and space, we want to bring heat. And so that's where sesame oil is beautiful and amazing and nourishing. So anyway, if you can find that oil, that would be perfect. But the point of this exercise is to do this once a day. Now, preferably at night, if you can do it twice a day, some people do it twice a day, or if you include this in part of your nightly wind down routine, just warm some of the oil. Now, you can use a milk bottle warmer if you've got that. That's what I use. Or you could use just a very small amount of the oil on the stovetop. If you just put a little bit on, don't ever put it in the microwave. We don't want to change the molecules. We don't want to denature the structure of the oil. But I want you to massage it. Now, ideally, you would massage your whole, you know, your whole body. But this is a simple practice. I don't want there to be too much overwhelm, or, you know, really want it to be a simple pearl to practice. So I just want you to get a small amount and massage it into the crown of your head in a clockwise direction, and then to put some oil on the soles of your feet. Now, wear socks so you don't slip, and also it'll keep your feet warm, which is amazing. And then to put a tiny bit of the oil inside your ear. Now, not a lot that you're drowning the earwax, but just a small amount. And then around the lobes and just around your ear. And then if you can manage it, and if you don't mind, just put a tiny few drops just inside your nostrils. And then gently just do some circles around the nostrils, just sort of massaging your nostrils up to the bridge of your nose, if that makes sense. And if you can keep it on for a minimum of 8 minutes, up to 45 would be fantastic. And then we really want to wipe the oil away, or have a warm, not a hot shower, but a warm shower. And so wiping the oil away almost encourages this removal of the armor or the toxins that the oil actually helps to pull out of your system. And the idea is that it's nourishing your beautiful nervous system, so that before you sleep, and I'm hoping that we've switched off the TV, the phones, we're utilizing all of our sleep hygiene strategies, and we're really creating a very restful, mindful relaxation space for the nighttime, for the evening. And the idea of the Abhyanga is it's going to help you have a beautiful, restful, amazing, rejuvenating sleep. And I really want you to give this a try, and I would absolutely love to hear how you found it. So send me an email or jump into my socials and send me a DM. I'm really keen to hear how you've got on, and how you found it, whether you've noticed any improvements, any shifts, any changes. And I hope that you've liked it so much that you actually just keep it part of your daily or nightly routine, and that it's something that you just do because you've actually seen the benefits that it brings. Okay, so that really wraps up today's episode. And I hope that for anyone sitting on the fence wondering, well, what is infant massage, that I've made abundantly clear what the benefits are, what it can bring to you, bring to your baby, bring to your family. And if you would love to learn, then I definitely would encourage you to sign up to a course and learn how to massage your beautiful baby. Then I will put the link to IMUS, or about IMUS and Heidi, on the show notes. So definitely hop on and see if that's something that you resonate with. But I hope you've taken something away, and I really thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, I hope you have an amazing week. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing, share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.